I figured I'd give y'all a heads up. Might take you a few minutes. Best way to find it is go to the book of Matthew and go backwards. You want to go back a few books and you'll find it pretty easy. But we will be in the book of Haggai. Talked college last night. We looked at Haggai, and Lord just impressed upon me to revisit it and look at it in a different manner, maybe than what you would expect. I pray it will be, and pray it'll be a blessing to you tonight. How many of you enjoyed the singing? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Choir, thank you so much for helping us out with that good singing. We're going to be in Haggai. It is the second smallest book of the Old Testament, and only 38 verses in the book. Two chapters, 38, spanning 38 verses. It was written around 520 B.C., or at least that's when Haggai came on the scene. He was a prophet, and he was a prophet to Jerusalem and to the remnant, to those that had returned out of captivity. Just to give you an idea of a timeline, we know that the captivity of Israel was 70 years. That began with the first invasion of Israel, not the last. And so 70 years had passed, and the king Darius, I think it was King Cyrus, that gave them the word to go back into Jerusalem and to first build the house of the Lord back in Jerusalem. And so the remnant, about 50,000 of the Jews, this is laid out for us in the book of Ezra. And if you were to go in the book of Ezra, I think it's in chapter number 2, possibly chapter number 3, but I think it's chapter number 2, where it lays out all the people that come back, and it numbered them. And if we were to number them, it was around 50,000 that came back at this time, with a man by the name of Zerubbabel, all right? And so I don't know what his parents had against him, but anyhow, Zerubbabel, he comes, and Zerubbabel was a builder, and he came with the remnant. Let me say this about the remnant as well. They left out of Babylon and came back to Jerusalem, and they came with a bunch of gold, silver, all kind of gifts, all kind of things for the purpose, of building the temple. And they also were given by the king all the vessels of the temple. They were given them back to bring back and to restore the temple and restore worship in Jerusalem. And so they come back about 538 B.C. They come back, and actually it took about 2 years, so about around 536 B.C., they began the work on the temple, and they laid the foundation of the temple. And they began the work, they laid the foundation, and they built an altar. They built an altar first, actually, and began the sacrifices once again. And then they laid the foundation and had it ready for building. But then they stopped. They just quit. Here they were, all fired up. They get to go back to Jerusalem, excited. They're delivered from captivity. They go back to Jerusalem, and they begin the work of starting the temple and building the temple. And they get there. They begin the work. They work for 2 years, and then all of a sudden, the work is ceased. No longer are they working on building the temple. But you know what they did start working on? Building their houses, all right? And they started building their houses, and the Bible tells us that they were sealed houses or tiled houses, if you will. And what this actually is alluding to is that their houses were very luxurious. In other words, they were spending a great deal of time and money building their houses, and yet they weren't building the house of the Lord. And so God sends a prophet, and he sends a prophet by the name of Haggai. And we're going to read chapter number 1. So y'all get with me, and we'll start in the very first verse, and hopefully you found your place by now, all right? Now, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, and the first day of the month, this is simply to say September, all right? Came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and I do not know that I pronounced that right, but they should have named him John. All right, now, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed or siled houses, and this house lie waste? In other words, is it right for you to live in your luxurious homes when you have not, when the house of the Lord is laying in waste? It has not been built. Verse number 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse number 6, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. How many of you have ever felt like that? Amen. You work your fingers to the bone, and it seems like you're putting it in a bank account that has a hole running out the other side of it, right? And so God told him, consider your ways. Go to verse number 7. You're doing good. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He said, all this is happening. He told him before, he said, consider your ways. He told him what was happening to him, and then right after that, he once again says, consider your ways. And then he says this. This is the prophet who is a mouthpiece of God speaking to Israel of what God says. And this is what God said. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Now let me ask you this. What is our purpose here on earth? To glorify God in our body and everything that we do. Is that right or not? And so they were not glorifying God in their work and what they were doing. Verse number 9, the Bible says, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Now, God's saying, all these things you think are going on, God says, I'm doing it. Is everybody with me? All those things, that money you putting in a bag with holes in it, and all those things you can't drink and you can't eat enough because you can't get satisfied, you can't put enough clothes on, you can't be warm, all these things, God says, is me. He says, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. In other words, there's a work to do, and you aren't doing it. You have prioritized you. Is everybody all right? You have prioritized you. In other words, you have gotten very selfish, and you are taking care of you, but you're not doing the work of the Lord. Verse number 10. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. God said, it ain't just this. He said, I ain't through. It ain't going to rain, and there ain't no fruit going to come. He says this, and I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil. Now, this was their living. That corn, that wine, that oil, this was their produce, this was their living. And he says, I have put a drought on this. And he says this, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. I need somebody to say, amen. God ain't happy right now. I mean, this is a, can you imagine? We don't like preaching that steps on our toes. Can you imagine Haggai shows up in the town for a revival? Amen. He says, I got a word from the Lord tonight. It won't take me very long. Y'all ain't doing what y'all supposed to, and God is judging you. I got to go. See y'all later, all right? Verse number 12. The Bible says, then Zerubbabel, the son of that guy, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, all right, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, look at this, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Verse number 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Man, how comforting would that be? They obeyed. Does everybody catch that? I want to make sure we're not going too fast. They obeyed. They heard the word of the Lord. They received the word of the Lord from Haggai. They obeyed the word of the Lord. And then God reassures them, I am with you, amen, saith the Lord. Verse number 14. The Bible says this, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of that guy, and governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Verse number 15, in the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, Darius the king. Did I get that right? Okay, all right, Darius the king. So we've read one chapter. Hallelujah. We've read half the book. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, but this is what's going on. So we have the first of four messages, and I'm only going to preach one message tonight, and I'm going to hurry, all right? I've laid the groundwork, I pray I have, is that they were supposed to go back and build what?
The temple,
which is the house of the Lord, all right? The house of the Lord. So they were to go back and they were to build the house of the Lord. They were instructed to go back and they were to build the temple. If we were to go back in Ezra, we would see that a command was given to them to go back and to build this, all right? But they didn't do it. How many of you know this? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, if you can. Define 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and start me off in verse number 9, and we'll read through verse number 17. And I'll preach the sermon very quickly once we get through our Bible reading, all right? But if we were to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, Paul is writing to the church there at Corinth, and he starts the whole thing off early in the chapter, and he tells them that they're carnal and that he cannot talk to them, he cannot feed them, he cannot give them steak, he has to give them milk because they're carnal Christians. In other words, they refuse to grow.
Amen.
In other words, they're stagnant. In other words, they are just like the people that Haggai was sent to preach to. Is everybody all right? Isn't this cool? Verse number 9. Go back to verse number 9 and we'll read down through 17. So we go back. We start in verse number 9 and the Bible tells us this. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. All right, let's stop just for a moment. We're going to continue reading, but let's get back to Haggai. Let's think about what's going on. The foundation for the temple was laid, but the work ceased. Are y'all with me? The altar was there. The altar was there for them to make sacrifice, and the foundation was laid, but they wasn't building on it.
Amen.
They'd stop. Now, with that thought in mind, let's go back. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth their own. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon that foundation. So, is that talking to us? Come on, y'all, talk to me. Is that talking to us? There's a foundation that's laid, and we have the responsibility to All right? So what are we building? A temple. Who said it? Hallelujah. We're building a temple. All right? We're going to see that here in just a moment. The Bible says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wife. Oh, I'm already through that verse. Go to verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Verse number 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse number 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, verse number 16, check this out. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Haggai is sent to tell them, the foundation has been laid and you have neglected to build the temple. Paul says, I can't do no better. A foundation has been laid and now it is your responsibility to build the temple. What? Know you not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. God wanted to dwell with His people in Israel, more specifically in Jerusalem. And He wanted them to build Him a house where He could dwell with man once again. And Paul says, don't you know you're the temple? And don't you know that God, the Spirit of God, dwelleth in you? When you got saved, God moved in. A foundation was laid in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God moved in and indwells you, but it is mine and your responsibility to build the temple. Amen. Verse number 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. As we look at this tonight, I'm going to give you five things. I told you, every time I try to be quick with something, I always end up with like 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 points, something like that. But do your best, try to keep up, and I'm going to do my best to go very quickly. They had a duty. Number one, their duty. Their duty was that they arrived. Their arrival should have inspired them to build that temple. Say, preacher, why do you say that? Because they have been in captivity for 70 years. They have been in bondage for 70 years. Not so much so that they're in chains or they're in prison cells, but they cannot return to their homeland. They cannot return to the Holy Land. And now God has given them passage. God has led them out of captivity and He has given them back their freedom and their liberty, and their duty is to worship Him, to build up a temple, worship Him, and to make sacrifices and offerings to Him. Amen. But they failed in their duty. There, we see their assignment was to build the temple, but their accountant, I like this. I put that in there because even though they were going through the motions and even though they were building their houses and Zerubbabel was there and Joshua was there, they, the leaders, the spiritual leaders, everybody, even though they weren't saying anything, God was taking account of what was being done. Zerubbabel wasn't standing up and saying, now, we're supposed to be building this thing. I'm going to need everybody to show up for a work day at 7 o'clock Saturday morning. And Joshua wasn't standing there and saying, you know God said that it's time to build this house. But God was saying it. God said, hey, you might have the religious leader fooled. You might have the political leaders fooled. You might have the community fooled. You might have the preacher fooled. You might have the leaders of the church and the staff fooled. But you aren't getting away with it with God. They had a duty to build that temple. Why? Because that's what God wanted. He wanted to dwell with them. And you and I, we already have God living in us. I need somebody to say amen. We've already got that promise. We've already got that blessing. The least you and I could do is to build a right temple for him to live in. You know, David desired to do it and God wouldn't let him. Solomon, he built the temple before he ever built his house. God meant that much to them. How much does he mean to us? We see their duty. I want you to notice, number two, their delay. I got to move quickly. I want you to notice some of their excuses. One of their excuses was, not yet. It's not time. Not yet. I need somebody to look at me right here. Don't look down at the floor. Carpet ain't changed. Don't look at the chairs. They're still the same color. Don't look at your Bible because we've already read it. Amen. There's some of you saying, I'm going to do it, preacher. Just not yet. I'm working on it, preacher, but you've neglected it for the last 5, 10 years. 14 years. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to help me now. This is good preaching, even if you are the one that's being stepped on, all right? Hey, I'm telling you, you and I are just like them. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I promise you, God, I'm going to do a great thing for you. God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And going to do it never comes. Not yet. I'm going to do it, God. One day, God, I'm going to do it. One day, God, I'm going to quit this. One day, I'm going to get my life right. One day, God, I'm going to put you as a priority. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Tomorrow comes. Come on, y'all, help me. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And tomorrow keeps becoming tomorrow. Hey, I like joking with folks. I'll go in there and tell them, hey, I said, I'm here for free lunch Tuesday. And they'll say, no, free lunch was yesterday. Right? Or it's tomorrow or something like that. They never say it's tomorrow because I'll take them up on that junk. But anyhow, their delay, they had excuses and they said, not yet. We're going to do it. But we got some things that we want to do in our life before. Man, this is so good. I wish I had a teenager in here to listen to me right now because there's a teenager in here that you want to do some great things for God, but you want to live your life first.
Amen.
And this was the problem that these people had, and this is why God sent Haggai. They wanted to build that temple, but they wanted to have their own houses first. They wanted to have their own lives first. They wanted to live their own lives first. And God said, you are struggling, you are fighting, you are earning money and you're dropping it into an account and it's falling out the bottom of it. You're sowing all kind of seed and you're reaping very little. He said, you're never satisfied. You can drink, 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 and drink, but you're never satisfied. You can eat, eat, and eat. You're never satisfied. You can put clothes on after clothes on and you're never warm. He says, you don't have a clue why this is happening to you. He says, meanwhile, my house lays in waste. My house lays in waste. Because you said, not yet. Or you say, we're unable. Or maybe we go back to Ezra and find out that they were in fear. We can look here and how about this one? The altar was built, Brother Johnny, so they can make sacrifices. What's the big deal if there's not a roof over it?
Amen.
I did some of it. I'm going to walk over on this side. This is preaching better than I thought it would. Hey, I did some of it. I just didn't finish. I started. I mean, God, there were some things that I got rid of in my life. And God said, hey, the temple ain't finished. I'm proud of what you have done, but it's not over yet. Let me move on. This was their delay. their excuses. We see their embarrassment. Oh, this was good. I wish I had time to develop this and talk to you about this. And I would if we had time. But these guys, their embarrassment, they couldn't build the temple like Solomon did. Solomon had all the riches in the world. Solomon had all, everything at his disposal. His daddy had been saving up, David had been saving up materials for the building of that temple, and it was magnificent. And now God's sending a remnant of 50,000 back, and they're bringing some treasure from Babylon, but nothing to the extent that Solomon had. They thought, well, God, I can't build you a nice house like Solomon did. Man, this thing's preaching good. And many of us, our excuse for not working on our temple is we can't live up to him. We can't live up to her. We can't live up to them that came before us. We can't live up to the church that was back in the day. Boy, I got to thinking about that thing. Everybody's reminiscing about how great it was back in the day. Back in the day, we didn't have cell phones, and everybody said, amen, praise God. Back in the day, church, man, we'd stay in church until it was over with. Babies crying in the church didn't have 65 bathroom breaks. I mean, God would get to moving in a little old building, and man, you could feel the Holy Spirit just bumping into you. You'd be up there worshiping, and it'd be knocking you around. God just walking around amongst everybody and say, it ain't like that anymore. So why even try? Why work on a temple that I can't be like they were? Not knowing that if we built the temple the way that it was supposed to be, God's blessings come with it. We see their excuses. We see their embarrassment. We see their excessiveness. They were excessive when it comes to their wants. Building these houses. This wasn't just stick homes and mud rooms. Is everybody all right? They were building tiled houses, very nice. And God said, you've got time to work on that. Oh, and how many times are we busy working on everything else, Dalton? We ought to be working on the temple. God, I ain't got time right now, but I'm going to get to it just as soon as I take care of my wants.
Amen.
And God, I deserve some things because I'm the remnant. Not everybody came back. Oh, I need somebody to help me.
Amen.
We start bargaining with God, saying, now, God, you owe me some latitude right here. I'm doing my part. I'm singing in the choir. I'm working with the young people. I'm trying to help out around the church. You need to give me some latitude right here. I'll work on this at another time. I'm going to move on. Let me move on. I feel like y'all are under conviction, so I better move on, all right? So I see first off their duty. I see their delay, and then I see their deception. Their deception was found in verse number 6, and I read it. It says, ye have sown much and bring in little. They couldn't understand that they were doing all this work and working to the bone, and yet nothing was coming of it. All their efforts outside of building God's temple were failures. And they kept working, and they kept struggling, and they kept fighting, and they were like, why isn't this working out for me? I'm working my fingers to the bone. Why isn't it working out for me? And the whole time, they're deceived, thinking that their hand, the harder they work, the more blessings are going to come. The harder they work, the more money's going to pour in. The harder they work, the more seeds they sow, the more they'll reap. And they're just constantly, constantly fighting and pushing in their own strength and in their own power and doing what they can. God said, you don't even know you work as hard as you want to. I ain't going to let it rain. I ain't gonna let the fruit come. I ain't gonna let it rain on the land. I ain't gonna let it do anything until you work on the temple. You can work as hard as you want to. You can struggle and fight as much as you want to. But until you're ready to build my house, until you're ready to work on my house, listen here, this is preaching to me too. Because so many times I get wrapped up in ministry and I get wrapped up in Calvary Baptist Church, the house of the Lord. But this is God's temple. This is just a building. This is just a building where the body of Christ gathers together. This is where he's at. He's in you. He's in me. This is the house that I ought to be working on. Praise God for the house that he has given us where we can all come together. But this is the house that needs work. So we see their ways were off. Their work was off. Their wanting, they constantly was wanting and they couldn't be satisfied. Their wages just seemed to be falling apart. This was their deception. They thought the harder they worked, the more they'd have. And what they found out was God was behind the scenes saying, the harder you work, the less you'll have. God said, I'm going to give all that to you. I'm not going to withhold from you. If your father knows how to give good gifts, if your earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more shall I give you good gifts? Come on, talk to me. God's saying, you working and you working and you working and you trying to make it and you're trying your best. And he said, and I'm just going to let you do it. But if you will put me a priority, you'll build my house. You'll find out that all those things you're working for, you'll have. So their directive, what was their directive? Everybody, y'all ready? Verse number 8, what was their directive? The Bible says this, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So what was their directive? God said, restart. I know you ain't. Hey, we ain't got to give God all of our excuses anymore. We ain't got to. We've been called out. Amen. God said, hey, we're done with that portion of it. Get busy. 14 years have been wasted. I need somebody to hear me right here. That's enough punishment in itself. 14 years you've worked and not come up with anything. That's enough punishment in itself. God said, just get busy. Start building. Recognize that all of your efforts are futile and start building my house. Told him to restart. He told him to refocus. To refocus. He goes on and he tells them to refocus. That in other words, get your priorities right. Restart, reset, restart. Get your priorities right. And then remember, God said, I ain't brought you this far to dump you out on your own. I'll be with you. Lastly, we see their dividends. God, how did God pay this off? They obeyed, right? They obeyed. The Bible says that they obeyed. The Bible tells us that they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him, and all the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Their dividends was God was with them. Stay with me. They're not working and operating in the same blessings you and I are. Because when we got saved, God's already with me.
Amen.
And I have a promise from God that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Even though I've neglected his house, even though I've not done as I should in building his house, even though I've let other things take priority over his work, he will not leave me. They were working on conditional promises. Me and you are living in the blessings of unconditional promise. God is with us. And God said, where is it? Go back verse number 8. Go back to verse number 8, if you will. I love this. God said, build the house. Watch this next phrase. And I will take pleasure in it. I was reading this thing, and I shared this with the college last night, but I was reading this thing, and where they come in and anointed the feet of Jesus, and the disciples got all upset. Jesus said, leave her alone, for she's done what she could. God's giving them, hey, listen here. God's saying, build the temple the best you can, and I will take pleasure in it. In other words, I don't expect it to be as magnificent as what Solomon did. Preacher, I don't expect you to be as magnificent as some of the preachers of old. Church member, I don't expect you to be like the saints of old. Build what you can. And I will take pleasure in it. God said, just build it. Do the best you can with what you have. And I'll take pleasure in it. And then he says, and I will be glorified. I will be glorified. Remember that our purpose here on earth is to glorify our Father, to glorify God. Remember, the Bible says that Jesus created all things, and by him were all things created for his pleasure. It ain't about our houses. Amen. It ain't about what you and I can do and what we can be. It's about pleasing our Creator. Bringing glory. Glorifying our Creator. Amen. And if we'll do that, God will provide. God's provisions. That's another dividend. Amen. God will provide. Well, preacher, I don't know. My family's struggling. I don't know if we can do that. We ain't got the time. We ain't got the money. We don't have the resources. We don't have the ability. We don't have my excuse after excuse after excuse. God said, just build what you can. And I'll take pleasure in it. All those things that you're working for, God will make sure that when you sow, you reap. When you drink and eat, you're satisfied. The clothes he provides for you back. Listen here. If he can provide clothes for the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness and they never go bad, he'll keep you in clothes. They might not be $200 and $300 dress shirts. They might not be $500 shoes. Is everybody all right? It might be the Velcro type, yep. Which isn't a bad option right now for me.
Amen.
Hey, pair of flip-flops. Amen. Hallelujah. Get mad if you want to, but Jesus wore sandals, and I tend to think it could have been flip-flops. God kept their shoes for 40 years, and we worried about, we got to work our fingers to the bone so we can have new clothes and have all this other stuff. Brother Jim, I sat with him today, and anyhow, I told him, he said, how old are you, Brother Robbie? I said, I'll be 50 this year. He said, boy, I got underwear as old as you are. Hey, God will take care of us, but we have a responsibility to build the house. Know ye not that you're the temple of the Lord, and His house, the foundation's been laid. It's time for His people to build the house. Heads bowed with me. Find a place around the altar tonight. I know you're under conviction. I could tell it in your faces. So don't be ashamed of it. Come on, find a place around the altar and let's deal with it. Let's get our hearts, our minds, our bodies prepared for the transformation. Allow God to begin a work in us, to continue a work in us. So we do our part in building a house for Him. Not one of mortar, sheetrock, and wood. Not one of bricks and metal. But let's build this temple that He's dwelling in already. Let's start beautifying it by getting rid of some things that ain't got no business being in it, being around it. Lord, we thank You for this night. Lord, I thank You for the message. I thank You for Your prophet, Haggai. A word to the children of Israel 2,500 years ago. But a word that's still relevant to us today. A word to Your people of the importance of Your house. The desire that You have to dwell with man. Now, Lord, we're living in the promises. The Holy Spirit indwells us and lives in us if we're saved. Our body is Your temple. But God, let us not act as though it doesn't need any work. A foundation has been laid according to 1 Corinthians. And we will decide what we build upon it. The wood, the hay, the stubble, those are those things that are all for us. They're going to burn up in that fire. But God, that gold and that silver and those precious stones, God, that's what we build for You. That's what we build on the foundation. A foundation that none better can be built upon. God, help us to put the effort into building our temple for You. Building Your house in our lives. Dwelling with You. Your presence with us, Your provisions with us, Your pleasure in us, in our lives and our bodies, glorifying You in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. And church said, amen.